Well, welcome to CCF Church Online. We really are so glad that you have taken the time to join us here. And, you know, we just don't want you to watch, but we really do. We want to engage with you. We want to connect with you. So we really do hope that you'll take the opportunities that was like explained before about putting the comments in whatever platform that you're on and allow us to connect with you like that. And here's one way for us to be able to engage with you is for the past 2 weeks, we have asked you to let us know where you're watching from. But if you haven't did that yet, if you haven't actually let us know where you're watching, or if you're brand new today, will you let us know by in the comment section, just type in the city of where you're watching from. Or if it's easier for you to text, just text the keyword city to 401-496-9710. The keyword there was city, and then when you get that reply, click on the link, and then just tell us then the city that you're from. But also, we want you to know that we're here to engage with you, to pray for you. And again, that keyword there is pray. Let us know. You can use that same number, text that word pray. And we want to know not just how to pray for you, but if there's some kind of need, we want to come alongside and serve you in that way. Well, if you don't know, my name is Rick, and I get to be the lead pastor here. And today we're continuing our teaching series called Life Giving Words, because who at this time in this COVID crisis, in this world pandemic, who doesn't need life-giving words? And we're turning to the words of Jesus because we know that Jesus has life-giving words. In fact, today I'm very excited to be able to share with you these life-giving words that Jesus says. These are his actual words that he says, written down by an eyewitness. And we want to unpack that today. And here's the words. These are Jesus' words. It says, I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not fail. I just want you to think about that for a second. Think about Jesus intercessing for you. He's interceding for you. He's going to God and he's pleading that your faith won't be shaken, that your faith won't fail you. Who doesn't need that in the middle of this COVID-19? This is our 8th Sunday doing online. Who doesn't need to hear these words that so our faith won't fail? And that's what we want to look at. We want to unpack this today, because think about this. Think about what makes our faith fail. It's doubt. Doubt is powerful. You know, doubt has the power to destroy, or we can use that doubt to actually become, building blocks of our faith. But I want you to think about this. You know that this is true because this happens in your life about doubt. When you go to work and you're working with somebody and you have your doubts about them, or if you are going to school and, you know, you're at school with them and you have doubt about them, there's like this gap between you and the coworker or you and that other student. And in that gap, if you place doubt there, everything they do, if you choose to place doubt there, everything they do, it continues to widen that gap of doubt. You filter every action through that doubt, and that just widens the gap. Hey, and if you're married, I want you to know that the same thing is true in your marriage. If you filter that gap between you and your spouse with doubt, it just continues to widen the gap. And that's why we're saying our bottom line here today is this. Our doubts will either destroy or build up our faith. Our doubts, because your doubts, just like your doubts, can destroy a relationship. Your doubts can also destroy your faith. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have times of doubt. I've had plenty of times of doubt in my own life. In fact, I can remember about 10 or 12 years ago, it was a real faith crisis in my own life. There was like this perfect storm that happened. Multiple circumstances happened, and I started doubting my own call. I started doubting my own work. I started doubting how I was raising my own kids. I started having all this doubt. I had this time of faith crisis in my own life. I had a lot of doubt. But what we do with that doubt is what makes all the difference, because the choice is ours. And what you will do with your doubt makes all the difference, because you can either use that doubt to actually turn it into be a building block for your faith, or you can use that doubt, and Satan will use that doubt to actually destroy your faith. Just recently, I've been having some doubts. And, you know, it was this past fiscal year. You know, our church runs on a fiscal year from July to June. And this past July, we passed a visionary budget where not only did it have our operating budget in there, but we had a line item, which was our visionary budget, our for Rhode Island of $333,000. And that over 3 years that we would watch God raise up $1 million. And there have been several weeks where we never made the visionary budget. We would make operating budget, but we wouldn't make that visionary budget. And it was becoming discouraging. I know I was doubting. I heard from another staff member that they were doubting as well. And then I got a phone call last week. And in that phone call from a couple who called me, and he said, "Rick, it's really important that you come over to my house." He says, "The doctor has cleared me. I don't have COVID-19, but I think it's really important that you come." And so I made my way over there. And on my way over there, I really felt in my heart, I was praying this prayer, "God, give me the grace to hear what I'm going to hear." Because I was preparing myself to hear the words from this husband that he only has months to live. I thought that that's what they were going to share with me. And so as I prayed that prayer, I finally arrived there. I go in, you know, I mask up and we all keep our social distancing. And as I'm just listening to a little bit more about their life story, finally the wife says, "Well, Rick, here's why we asked you to come here today." And she pulls out an envelope and hands it to me. And when she hands me that envelope, I took the envelope, but all of a sudden my eyes start leaking. Because there in that, and in fact, I blurted this out. I said, "I thought you were going to tell me you only had months to live." And they both started laughing. And they're like, "No, we want you to open that up, because we feel like that God wants us to give this to the church." And when I opened up that envelope, inside that envelope was a check for $200,000. You talk about a faith builder. You talk about a building block for your faith, that if when you doubt, even in your doubt, that you would just continue to push forward, that you would continue to take that doubt and still act in faith. And watch what God can do. And that's what He wants to do in our life. And that's what we're going to see as we unpack this in Luke chapter 22. So take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 31. But here's what I want you to know. This is actually what was happening. The disciples were having communion as we know it, or they were doing the Passover. This was the Last Supper. They had just finished the Last Supper. They had just finished communing one with the other with Jesus. This was the time when Jesus said this, you know, He took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you." He took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." This was that time. They just finished that conversation. And then verse 31 comes. Watch. Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Simon, Simon," meaning Peter. He says, "Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat." You see that? And in your mind, I want you to have this idea of a sieve. And how they take that and they shake it. And what Jesus is saying is what Satan wants to do is he wants to take you right where you are in the middle of this COVID-19, in this pandemic, in this world pandemic. And he wants to shake you. Because he wants you to create so much doubt in your life that it actually destroys your faith. But here's the life-giving words of Jesus. Here was Jesus' reply to that. That's when Jesus says, "But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail." I want you to think about that. Think about Jesus praying for you. I mean, we could each say this. We know that Jesus prayed for all his future disciples. He does that in John chapter 17. And so we know that this is not uncommon, that Jesus is praying for you. So we could make the application for us as well, that Jesus is praying for you, that you won't lose your faith, no matter how hard your finances are, no matter if you become sick, no matter if you contract the virus of COVID-19, you know, no matter what happens, he's praying for you. Now, it may not be the outcome that you had hoped for. You may not receive what you had planned on, but what you can count on, that God is still at work in and through you. And he doesn't want your faith to be shaken just because your circumstances have been turned upside down. But notice Peter's reply. Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you." Now, I have to be honest. If I was sitting there with a Jesus and he's telling me this, I probably would have replied the same way. "Jesus, what are you talking about? Man, I'm going to die. You know, I'm ready to die for you." But here was Jesus' response to that. Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. You'll deny that you even knew me. You're going to do this three times." Now, I want us to slide down to verse number 54. And I want us just to read this story. It says, "And so they arrested him." So this is, you know, they've already been in the garden. Judas has already betrayed. Judas shows up, you know, and Jesus is arrested. And now they are taking him to the high priest's home. And look what happens. "So they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance." Already he's creating the gap. Already he's got this distance between him and Jesus. "And the guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they sat around, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl, a junior hire, noticed Peter in the firelight and began staring at him." And can't you see her there? She's sitting there scrolling Instagram, and all of a sudden she comes across a post where Peter is with Jesus. And then she blurts out, "This is one of Jesus' followers." Peter denied it. He said, "Woman, I don't even know him." One. And after a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." I mean, after some other time, somebody else on Facebook scrolling saw another post of Peter with Jesus. And then that same person would pop up and they would say, you are one of them. You've got to be one of them. And Peter's reply, "No, I'm not." Two. And then about an hour later, someone else insisted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them, because he is a Galilean too. I looked it up on his Facebook profile. You see, you are one of them. And Peter's reply, "Man, I don't even know what you're talking about." And before he can get that last word out, immediately he hears that rooster crow. He has that flashback all of a sudden of those words of Jesus. Here, strike three. Three times before that rooster would crow, you'll deny me. And then what happens next? At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. They locked eyes. I sure can remember when my parents, they could just look at me. Their eyes would lock in on me. They didn't have to say a word. And I knew I was guilty. I knew I had did it. And they knew I had did it. And it was just the look. The look of disappointment in my dad's eyes. And here, Peter has this look. He connects with Jesus. And he remembers those very words. And then here's his response. Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. He knew what he had did wasn't where he wanted to go. He knew that those words, that wasn't where his heart was. And he was so disappointed in himself. He allowed his doubt not in who Jesus was. He wasn't denying that he was Savior. He was denying the provision that God could actually protect him. He was scared he would be next. He was scared for his safety. He was denying that God could actually protect him. And in that moment, he walks away. And he is so disappointed in himself. And here's what we can learn from Peter about taking our doubts and turning them into building blocks for our faith. The very first one is that it means repentance. It means there has to be a change and a turn in our life. And that's what Peter showed. He lived that out after this moment. After that, after this encounter, after this lapse of doubt, after this lapse of faith, after that moment, Peter lived a different kind of life. In fact, we know that history tells us that Peter was actually martyred and that he didn't even count himself worthy to be crucified. They were going to crucify him like they did Jesus. And he said, you need to do that upside down. That's what history tells us. So we know that there is a real change in Peter's life after this. I want us to go fast forward to John chapter 21. Because I think we can learn something else about Jesus' reaction and response to Peter after this happened. Because here's what we need to remember. That Jesus, after the point of resurrection, Jesus was here for 40 days before he ascended back into heaven. And during that 40-day period, he actually had all of these encounters with disciples. In John chapter 21, we have the third encounter. And here in this third encounter, we can learn from Jesus. I think what Jesus is wanting us to do is to say, hey, you know what? We're all going to have our doubts. We all are going to have those seasons in our life that we go through where we doubt. But you can't set it up as a permanent address. You can, you know, let it come by. Let it be a season. But don't stay there. Because if you stay there, if you set up as your permanent address, it's going to destroy your faith. And Peter didn't stay there. He didn't allow it to become his permanent address. He used it as a building block for his faith. And in John chapter 21, we have the disciples now. They're back earning a living. They're back doing what they did, their trade. Peter and seven other disciples are out there fishing on a boat. They've been working all night, and they haven't caught anything. And look what happens in verse number 4 of John chapter 21. At dawn, so it's still kind of dark. The sun hasn't come up all the way. But it was at dawn. Jesus was standing on the beach. But the disciples couldn't see who it was. You know, they just kind of saw that dark silhouette type of person. He called out to them. Jesus calls out to the disciples in the boat. And he says, hey guys, have you caught any fish? And the reply was, no, we haven't. And then Jesus said, throw out your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. Now just stop and think about that. Here are these seven professional fishermen. And here's some dude on the beach saying, well, if you'll just take your net and throw it out on the other side. Have you ever come across those kind of people, right? They're like, we're the professionals. But here Jesus is on the beach saying, trust me. Trust me. Even when it doesn't make sense, trust me, throw your net out on the other side. And that's exactly what they do, and look what happens. And they did, and they couldn't haul in the net. Because there were so many fish in it. We see the second building block of taking our doubts and turning them into building blocks for our faith. And that is, even in a time of doubt, you take a step anyway. Even when it doesn't make sense, take a step anyway. I recently heard a pastor say it this way. He says, I only need to feel 51% that this is what God is calling us to do. And if I feel 51%, we're going in that way, trusting God's provision anyway. Are you 51%? If you're just 51%, just take a step of faith and go in that direction anyway. And then notice what Jesus does. Jesus says, now come, have some breakfast with me. Come and fellowship with me. Hey, let's talk about life, guys. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew. They knew who it was. Those were familiar words. Hey, take the net and throw it on the other side. Take that step of faith. Go in that direction that you know God is calling you to. Go in that direction that you know is right. You know aligns to Scripture, even when it doesn't make sense. Go in that direction anyway. And allow your doubt to become a building block for your faith. And after breakfast, now watch, I want you to watch this. After they got done fellowshipping, Jesus has this conversation with Peter. And he says, Peter, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now there's all this debate in biblical scholarship on who the these are. I don't think it really matters. Whether it was those disciples, whether it was all the disciples, you know, who cares? He's just saying, do you love me more than these? And Peter would say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus would say, well, then feed my lambs or make new disciples. And then Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Jesus and Peter would reply, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then Jesus would say, then take care of my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Not just make new disciples, but shepherd them. Lead them. Help them to continue to grow in their faith. And when they have moments of doubt, share your experience of doubt and allow it to become a building block for their faith. But then a third time, he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And notice Peter's response. John's watching this as an eyewitness, and he writes this down. And he could see on the countenance of Peter, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. In less than 40 days, Peter's being drilled with three questions, and there's no doubt in his mind. He's having this flashback. Oh my gosh, the last time three questions came at me, I failed. The last time three questions came at me, I doubted. I had this gap, and I doubted that God could protect me. And I allowed that to take me down. He was hurt. But his response, he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then Jesus says, then feed my sheep. Or he says, so shepherd the church, shepherd the disciples, lead the disciples. You see what Jesus does? Jesus doesn't bring up his past and say, because you denied me three times, you know what? You're not worthy. Because you messed up, you can't lead anymore. Because you had doubts, because you didn't think that I could actually protect you. See, what Jesus does is he invites him for fellowship, and then he invites him to lead. And we know that Peter became one of the main leaders of the church in the New Testament. Don't let your past moments of doubt, don't let your past seasons of doubt destroy your faith. Use them to turn them into a building block for your faith. The third thing that we see of turning our doubt into building blocks of our faith is that you don't let the past doubts keep you from present fellowship and serving others. God could use those very doubts that you have had as you speak to them into other people's lives. And you could say, hey, I've been there. I certainly have been there. I can say I have doubted. My hand's the first one that's up. We're all going to have our times of doubt. But use it to build your faith up, not to tear it down. Now, what I want to do is go back to that prayer. Look at what Jesus had pleaded in prayer for Peter. He says, so that your faith won't fail. But then he says, so when you have repented, remember we said that's the very first step. And when we have these seasons of doubt, when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers, strengthen the church, feed my sheep. Isn't that so amazing that Jesus doesn't disqualify us, or he doesn't somehow look down upon us or feel shamed about us because of our doubts? No, he invites us to use those doubts to feed the sheep or to disciple others or to encourage other people. So that's my question for you. Will you take your doubts and will you allow them to become building blocks in your own faith so that you can serve others? Let's go right into our next steps. Number one, it says, I desire to take my doubts and turn them into building blocks for my faith. Whatever platform that you are on right now, we want to pray for you around this idea. Would you just let us know if this is how you want us to pray for you? If you don't want to click on that link for that connection card, just do this right here and let us know that you want to be prayed for, and someone will reach out to you and pray for you in that way. The other next step says, I choose repentance, not shame, from my past fellowship and to serve others in my present. You see, you're not going to let your past hold you back from present fellowship or presently serving other people. Won't you take that step? Some of you need to take this step. You are so bound up in your doubt. And you think that somehow Jesus is ashamed of you. No, Jesus calls you back in. He's like, no, have a seat around the campfire. Let's commune together. And then take it and go and serve other people. Now, here's the last next step. Some of you who are watching, maybe you have never put your faith. You would say you don't have faith in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the next step for you. What you need to do is place your faith or trust that Jesus Christ really is the Messiah. And that's what this one is about. It says, in spite of my doubts, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Is that where you find yourself? We would love to pray for you around that. In fact, if you would text the keyword trust, if you would just text that keyword trust to 401-496-9710. If you will do that and then click on the link in the reply that is sent back to that text, that will let us know that you're interested in taking this step, and we'll reach out to you and just talk with you. And maybe we can help you work through some of those doubts that you have. But we would love to invite you into a time of trusting Jesus as your Savior.